Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
It is the Brett Winterble Show, News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Wonderful to be here with each and every one of you. And our phone number, as always, is 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. What you just heard, wrapping up there. It's a bit of history, the end of an era, as the final Open Line Friday edition of the Rush Limbaugh Show has now been heard. We'll have a little bit of information for you coming up in just a bit in terms of what it is that we've got planned here at WBT. So I want to encourage you to stick around, stay tuned, and find out a little bit about it. But it is great to be here today, and it is a beautiful day in Charlotte, and there are lots of big stories that are out there moving. We'll be joined by a number of terrific guests throughout the program. Next hour, we'll be joined by Gary Grossman, who's got a tremendous new book out. And I've got Representative Devin Nunes, who's going to come by as well. He'll be at the bottom of the 4 o'clock hour, and we'll be talking about a number of the challenges we're facing with big tech and with some of the stuff that's happening in Washington, D.C. And there's a big event coming up that I'm going to be emceeing with Devin Nunes. We'll tell you about that as well straight ahead. On Twitter, you can always reach out to me at Winterble Show and at the Brett Winterble Show at the Facebook page. But let's start with this. Right out of the box, and I think it's well worth looking at the big stories that are now out there moving, because now we have a situation wherein President Biden is back on terra firma in the United States. He's back from his travel. You've got the red meat politicking, getting back to business, and we're starting to see a number of challenges in our economic picture that we have certainly talked about over the last number of months. Ever since the economy began to reopen, we understood full well what it was we were seeing. We understood that inflation was clearly very present, and that inflation is certainly costing us jobs and opportunity as businesses, just like Price's Chicken Coop yesterday, announcing they were going out of business after this weekend, after nearly six decades, because of the cost of chicken, because of the inability to get labor, because of the inability for the government to provide coinage that is out there. That's a huge issue. That's a huge challenge. We talked about the fact that there are 12,000 missing truckers in North Carolina that are not materializing to help replace people who are leaving those jobs. That is a huge story. That means that you're not going to be able to get the goods you want. You're not going to be able to get the services that you need in a timely fashion. And rather than becoming, and let's be honest about this, rather than becoming the premier market out there that can produce, deliver, and consume retail products, food products, construction products at an enormous clip like we have in the past, well, we're going to have to start to diminish our expectations. It is, in fact, beginning to look a whole lot like the years that we all lived through, 2009 into the very early part of 2017, which was essentially an eight-year period of time in this century that really was predicated upon diminished expectations. You knew that the unemployment number was never really going to get down. You knew the taxes were going to stay high. You knew that the people that went into college at any given point in that eight-year window were going to have diminished expectations. Heck, you had a president of the United States back at that time coming out and saying, essentially, stay in school, keep borrowing money. At some point, this might clear up. At some point, it might not. And it took MAGA Nation coming together to throw Trump in office to get those taxes cut and to see a vibrant, robust economy. It's not an imagination to you that you saw the unemployment numbers at some point kissing 4%, the lowest in 60, 65 years. It was an incredible thing to see. But those days are in the past, because now you've got an administration in Washington who is talking about death taxes for everybody, not just the wealthy, but for normal people. Not just for the abnormal rich people, but for regular normal people like you and me, the strivers. The government wants to hollow out your wealth and diminish diminish your expectations for a great country. Donald Trump's motto was to make America great again, and certainly people will debate if America was ever really great. I mean, I don't know. I don't have time to have those arguments. I'm not sitting in some loser political science class at a college campus somewhere in June. But, you know, we have to understand that the motto probably for the Biden administration is not to make America great again, but to make America sad again, and to make America average again, and to make America kind of its place in the world again. Not particularly exceptional, and not the exception to the rule, but just another run-of-the-mill country. Our new motto here in the United States could easily be this: America, kind of like Denmark, but sadder. America, sort of like Bolivia, but more violent. I mean, any of those slogans could be utilized at this point in the game. So this is the new reality in which we live. And we're living in a very interesting time, because I spoke about this earlier in the week to a group, a wonderful group of Republicans in the Asheville area. And I said to them, look, you have 500 days to convince people that your cause is right. You have 500 days until the next election, give or take, to persuade people to understand that, you know, free markets are good. Money in your pocket is good. Optimism is good. A diminishment of rioting, looting, shootings in the streets of America, that's a good thing. Arresting criminals is a good thing. Incarcerating those who do drive-by shootings like we witnessed taking place in a high-end neighborhood there in Arizona overnight, that's a good thing. You want criminals off the streets for sure. It really, what you essentially want is a good job, good schools. You want to have safe streets. You want to have a well-armed, law-abiding populace. And you want the police to understand that when they see rioting, they're free to stop it. Not like what you saw take place in the city of Portland overnight, as one police officer who was part of the riot squad was prosecuted for having unapproved contact with a photographer. As a result, 50 members of the special teams and riot team in Portland have walked off the jobs. I think it's going to be delicious and wonderful to watch kooky Kate Brown and that reprobate mayor, little Teddy Wheeler from Portland, patrol the streets with nothing more than a thong and a billy club. It's going to be phenomenal to see them try to bring law and order back by understanding and hugging Antifa. Can't wait to see it. Don't think it's going to work. Perhaps you disagree. We've got a lot straight ahead. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Boomer Von Cannon.
Yes, sir.
How you doing over there?
Glad it's Friday, man.
Man, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I'm already mentally in Saturday, but I'm going to keep the people laughing. What's up?
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Big news coming out from the White House on this Friday afternoon. And by the way, happy Juneteenth to all, as the President of the United States signed into law our latest holiday, and it is commemorating Juneteenth. And to those folks who are reflecting on that very important piece of American history in which the Union was preserved, due in large measure to the abolition movement of the Republican Party and the efforts of President Lincoln to ensure that we would be a union continuing. It is a very important day to remember, as promises made were promises kept, and we continue to move forward right now in this current era. 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. This is the big news, though, coming out of the White House, coming off the Biden-Putin summit this week. The White House says it's getting excited about bilateral talks between President Joe Biden and President Xi Jinping. That's according to a statement by the biggest emo advisor in the history of government, Jake Sullivan. Just look at Jake Sullivan. Just look at a picture of Jake Sullivan, and you're going to see him in the front row of My Chemical Romance and Fallout Boy and Panic at the Disco and all that. And right now my daughter is like shooting daggers at me, thinking about my snotty remarks here. But Jake Sullivan is just so emo. My gosh. He's the guy that goes in for an oil change and comes out with a brand new manifold for no other reason than he's clearly incompetent about the rough and tumble parts of the world out there. What the president said about there being no substitute for leader-level dialogue as a central part of why we held the summit with Putin yesterday applies to China and to President Xi Jinping. Now, I'm trying to remember, is Xi Jinping the guy? Is Xi Jinping the guy that is Biden's old friend, that Biden actually referred to as my old friend, though he doesn't remember that, and instead decided to bark at Peter Doocy? So Jake Sullivan at a press briefing, I'm sorry, he's emo. I shouldn't talk. I'm giving him too much. Giving him too much tea. I got to give him a little less. I got to do this. This is Jake Sullivan. He will look for opportunities to engage with President Xi going forward. Oh, I think we've had plenty of opportunity to engage with President Xi since about late fall 2019 when Xi's Wuhan virology lab did the ultimate in delivery job to the rest of the world, all while making good on the Fauci dollars. I mean, is that fair to say? I think that's fair to say. They're great at exporting stuff. They export technology. They export people to camps out in Western China. And now they've apparently decided they're going to export the notion of diplomacy with Joe Biden. Wait a minute. He'll look for opportunities to engage with President Xi going forward. While underscoring that there are currently no particular plans at the moment, he suggested an opportunity would be looked at for the G20 summit in Italy in October, given both leaders will be there. What is President Biden going to say to Xi Jinping? What's he going to say? I mean, in all seriousness, Jake Sullivan, what are you... Soon enough, we will sit down to work out the right modality for the two presidents to engage. It could be a phone call. It could be a meeting on the margins of another international summit. It could be something else. Oh, I'm sure, Jake, it'll be something else. Why are you rewarding this tyrant who will not be transparent on the COVID and who has 1.5 million locked up in concentration camps where they're being forcibly raped? They're being forced to convert from their religions. Some of them are Christians. Many of them are Muslims. They are forced into slave labor. What are the metrics, little Jake Sullivan, emo advisor numero uno? What are the metrics by which Xi Jinping will earn a place at the table? Because he doesn't deserve a place at the table. I would rather, and I'll go on the record now, put this on the record, Josh. He's putting it on the record as we speak. I would trust a conversation with Kim Jong-un. I always like to emphasize the last syllable. Then I would Xi Jinping. Kim Jong-un's just a loudmouth. He's just a bully boy. He's just a guy that prowls the playground looking to give teachers wedgies. But Xi Jinping, man, he's got a lot of death on his hands. A lot of it. Many of it in his own country. A lot of it out around the rest of the world. The only reason why I want to have a meeting with Xi Jinping is to put a piece of paper like this right here and say, Xi, start writing zeros after a number. And I'll tell you when to stop putting commas. But you're gonna cough up something like $50 trillion to the regular world, to the normal world, not the prison camp that's known as the PRC or the CCP. The people of China are hostages to Xi Jinping. The Chinese Communist Party is merely carrying out the most evil ideology in human history, and that is Marxism and socialism. And we're going to tell you, we want $50 trillion coming out to the civilized world, not from the people of China, but from the Chinese Communist Party. You are a gangster regime, you are a bandit regime, and we are demanding reparations for all the 170 countries that suffered the ravages of the coronavirus emanating from the WVI. And WVI is the Wuhan Virology Institute. You got caught red-handed in Red Square with the red communists looking to take us down, and the world is now united. We're reunited, and it feels so good. Better write a check. Don't be...
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Misunderstood. News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Brett Witterbull Show. Our phone number 704-570-1110. I don't want to jump on the phones and talk to Tim first up on this Friday afternoon. Tim, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hey, Brett. I called you a couple months ago about the Asian people. I want to give you a little update. I have been able to get a group together, and we meet bi-weekly. Their biggest thing is, and I like telling you this because they're telling me this, there's no way that this COVID-19 could have came from the wet market. They all know where it came from.
Sure.
It came from the laboratory.
From the lab, right.
They're kind of curious to why we don't know that.
Everybody knows that. Tim, hold on. Tim, seriously, man.
Yeah.
Seriously. Are you contending, whoever these people are you're talking to, I don't know who they are. Are you really contending that nobody's talking about the Wuhan Virology Lab?
No, they think that.
No. You got on the radio here, and you said, why is it that nobody's talking about, nobody's talked about the wet market in 6 months, 8 months, 9 months? You need to go back and tell them to listen to WBT, News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT, because this is where we are covering the current information. The wet market hasn't been a topic since, I mean, I don't even know how long it's been a topic. It hasn't been a topic since Trump's impeachment.
But it keeps going back and forth.
No, it doesn't. It does not go back and forth. It does. Here's what I'm going to do, Tim. Stay right there. Don't go anywhere.
Okay.
Stay right there. Hold on. I want you to hear this. Hold on for me. I'll put you on hold. He's on hold, right? Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is an invitation for you to call my show right now. How many of you out there think this is from the wet market? How many of you out there know this is from the Wuhan Virology Institute? 704-570-1110. I just wanted to put the bat signal up, Tim, because nobody thinks it's from the wet market. Like, there is not a person that thinks a pangolin went out on a date with a chinchilla and ended up catching the coronavirus. Nobody believes that, but like nobody.
I know, but what?
Well, you just said you know. Then why are you saying that then?
It's not what I am saying. It's what they are saying.
Well, who are they? Are these people employed by Xi Jinping? Is there a cell of Xi Jinping supporters?
That brings me to my second point, Brett. A lot of times on newscasts, people will say, the Chinese people are responsible for this.
Absolutely wrong. This is two instances of wrong. That is actually not the case. In fact, the last segment I just did, I said the people of China are victims and are hostages to the Chinese Communist Party. I do not know anybody. I've not had anybody call into this program and say the Chinese people created the coronavirus. They are all talking about the Wuhan. So this is two instances of misinformation. Go for your third.
Okay. They would. Just...
Who's they? Who is this invisible they?
No.
I have uncovered this. This, Tim, is an attempt at either agitprop, or it is an attempt at compromise, or it is an attempt at disinformation. He hung up. He could not withstand the withering response of TRUTH from me. Nobody says it's from the wet market. For real. The only lie bigger than this is from the wet market is the dope in my coat. I was holding it for my friend Cody. Mom, really? It's not my weed. I was holding it for my friend Cody. I had a username that like nobody has anymore. Like, I don't know anybody named Cody. And now I will have 7 Codys call me. It'll be incredible. Terry is next. Terry, welcome to the program.
Hey, Brett.
Hey, Terry.
I just wanted to comment to you,
sir,
that I appreciate EIB and WBT for giving Rush fans a chance to say goodbye to Rush.
Mm-hmm.
And you and Ken and Todd and all the others who helped us Rush fans to transcend to the future of real talk radio. And I look forward to more truth that Rush tried so hard to convey to us, and I cherish Dave BT.
Oh, well, we cherish you and all the listeners and the fine folks who call in every day to check in with us. And I have an important, I'll take this opportunity to make an important statement, Terry, okay? This is the important statement that I think, and keep on listening and you'll hear it. This is what's important to understand about what we're doing here at WBT. We are committed to Charlotte. We are committed to serving this community. In the short term, we're going to be doing something on this station called Live and Local WBT. And we're going to have a number of hosts coming in here. But nobody is ever going to be able to replace Rush Limbaugh. We are not going to try to replace Rush Limbaugh. WBT leads local. And we're committing to a live and local lineup from 5 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday. If it's happening in the Charlotte region, if it's happening throughout the Carolinas, WBT is and will remain the brand of record to tell this community about it. And of course, all politics is local. So as events on the national stage filter down to us here, WBT will be providing analysis and insight and engage the local listeners in this discussion. So let me reiterate, because this is a hugely important point. Nobody can replace Rush, but WBT has been here for almost a century. We've been a part of this community. We love this audience. We love this community. And we have such a unique opportunity to be that station that's going to have a live and local lineup from 5 a.m. to 7 p.m., Monday through Friday. Again, something big happens at the White House, I'll cover it. Bo's going to cover it. Vince is going to cover it. The midday program is going to cover it. That is what's so important. Mark Garrison breaks down the big issues of the day. But we are not some show piped in from way over there. We're right here. We're your neighbors. I wave to you on the freeways, the highways, the byways, the county roads, the state roads. You don't wave back, but that's okay. Keep your eyes on the road. I will continue to wave to you. And you'll know it's me because I'm the guy who's driving down the road with his right blinker clicking constantly for 40 miles or more because I forget to turn it off. That's what you have to remember. We're here. We're proud. We're going to be live and local. And we take your phone calls from right here in this listening area. So it's a hugely important thing, and you need to remember that. 704-570-11.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
10. News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. Good to be here with you. 704-570-1110. I'm going to continue with the phone calls because we've got some very interesting takes here. We've got Cliff up next. Hello, Cliff. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Brett. How are you, man?
I'm well. Thanks for calling.
Good. First off, thanks for everything you've been doing here on WBT, your work at the EIB, and all those good things.
Thank you.
I wanted to throw this out here if I could.
Go ahead.
It's purely a supposition on my part. The Wuhan Virology Institute, Ping, Fauci, and Soros have done something Bernie Madoff would have been seriously proud of. They've poncied the whole world with COVID-19. And I'm going to let you run with it.
You're saying they've conquered the whole world with COVID-19. They conquered it, is what you're saying.
Yes, they did.
Okay. All right. I got thoughts on this. I don't think they conquered the whole world. I don't think they conquered the entire world with the COVID-19. I think they took a real shot at gaining an advantage. And I think this was all economics. I think they saw that they were heading in the wrong direction. The rest of the world was in the midst of economic growth, and they had to slow it down so that they would retain their position at being on par with the rest of the world. And I don't have any doubt that that would be a motivator. Doesn't mean that they want to kill everybody, want to wipe everybody out. And the reality is, if you look at the statistics, right? I mean, this is not the bubonic plague. This is not that. This is a disease, an illness, a virus that killed, 11 million people worldwide. But when you consider the number of people who got sick and didn't die, you see the scope of this number. I do think this was a bioweapon. I do think it is a bioweapon. And I do think we need to wake up and wake up fast. And I think if Joe Biden wants to be doing a whole bunch of internationalizing, which is what he's trying to do, he's trying to make everything an international this or an international that. Let's have a summit. I think we need to have an understanding with the countries around the world that this happens one time and has happened. This has happened one time, and this is not going to happen again, because I think we need to declare that a nation caught deploying this or something like this, it's got to be recognized by the international community as an act of war, and the international community has to act accordingly. We absolutely should be acting in concert with the European Union and other blocks of countries to say to the Chinese government, we're not buying your stuff. You're not trading with us. We're pulling our companies out. We are going to prevent your high-ranking members of the Chinese Communist Party from purchasing land in these countries. I mean, we will just bring down holy hell on you. And I'm sorry, if Jack Dorsey doesn't like it, take a boat to Shanghai, Jack. Zuckerberg doesn't like it, you're more than welcome to go to the Forbidden City. I'd prefer you stay there, Mark. These big tech elites, they're more than welcome to go hang over there, hang out over there, be famous over there, do their thing over there. But we, the American people, we have got to put bad actors on notice. If you want to hack our infrastructure, there's going to be severe consequences. You want to hack our economy with a virus like this, there's going to be consequences. And I'm not talking about a couple of little teeny tiny pinprick sanctions, throwing your diplomats out of the country. I'm talking about seizing assets and calling notes. Janice is next. Janice, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
What's on your mind, Janice?
I was just wondering why the WHO has not investigated the people who came down with lung infections from vaping.
Oh, vaping. Okay, all right. Vaping is an interesting thing because you never hear about vaping anymore. For the life of me, I've never been a vaper. I don't vape. It's not anything I've ever been interested in doing. I don't understand people who are vaping. To me, it seems like there's a lot of downside to the vaping. I mean, I'm a freedom guy. I mean, you want to smoke a cigar, you want to smoke a cigarette, you want to vape. I mean, that's kind of on you, but I've never understood the upside to vaping. I just haven't. So we'll have to look at that. I do remember as we were coming into the coronavirus being a hot topic, being the big topic, I do remember that there was a real concern about vaping, and there was a look at banning vaping on some level. They were starting to restrict people and say you had to be over 21 to you got to be over 21 to vape. You got to do all that sort of stuff. But I have not. And do not know of anything in terms of the vaping and the coronavirus. That would just be absolutely horrible, though. I mean, I just think when you kind of look at the picture that's out there, and you see what it is that's happening in terms of the damage from the coronavirus. And this is a great example. You know, I was talking to you earlier about Live and Local here on WBT, and I was saying the fascinating thing about us being live and local from 5 a.m. to 7 p.m. is that we can work together as a community. And if we travel back in time to those dark days of the coronavirus, and I had just gotten here in February of 2020, by March of 2020, everything's going into lockdown mode, things are spiraling downward, we ramped up in a substantial way here at WBT to serve this community as nobody else could and would with our local news team. And even we, the opinion hosts, were a part of that, working seven-day-a-week schedules. Break-in Brett Jensen, me, Mark Garrison, Joe Gillespie, a part of the mix. Obviously, Steve Counts. Obviously, Jeff Atkison. Any number of people who were a part of all that coverage, plus Bo, plus the Gov, plus everybody, Vince Coakley, and Pete, and everybody coming together to try to get you guys the most accurate and up-to-date information. And my proudest moment being here, and in all sincerity, I'm not bum-bussing or sucking up or anything. My proudest moment being here was when businesses were facing the peril of their life as a result of these shutdowns and these orders coming from elected and unelected bureaucrats and officials. And we started taking phone calls from businesses at that time, talking about how it was they were coping and surviving in this new environment. We were playing recorded messages from them, not as commercials, but just as, hey, FYI, these businesses are still open, but they're doing takeout, they're doing to-go, their hours are this, their hours are that, that sort of stuff. And when I went to Talkers last week, a week ago today, I was on a panel at Talkers. I didn't really get into this week because we had so much news with Biden and Europe. As I was talking about that on a panel in front of the senior leadership in talk radio around the country a week ago, I was talking about how special that was, that connection was. And the reason why that connection was so special is we were always here. We were always here. One of us was always here. And we were breaking down these big stories. And that's the pride of my professional life, to be honest with you, is working with this community the way we do and the way we are. So coming up in this next hour, we've got something very special happening. I've got Gary Grossman coming by. He's got a brand new thriller we're going to talk about. And Congressman Devin Nunes is coming by as well. Hour one done. I'm Brett Winterbull, News Talk 1110, 99.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
3 WBT. Brett Winterbull. It is the Brett Winterbull Show, News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Great to be here with you, spending this time on a beautiful Friday. And a happy early Father's Day to each and every one of you, all the fathers out there. It's good to be spending this time with you on this very, very important Friday before that holiday. Also, a happy Juneteenth to folks as well. President Trump is slamming Joe Biden over social justice indoctrination of school children. No doubt you're starting to see an increase in the tempo of folks complaining about so-called critical race theory and what that means for education here in the United States. In an interesting little twist, pro-CRT teachers are rewarding extra credit to students who testify on the anti-CRT bill. Now, what does that mean exactly? Well, here's what it means. A group of Rhode Island teachers in favor of implementing critical race theory in their schools are offering extra credit to their students who agree to testify on an anti-critical race theory bill. Documents obtained by Parents Defending Education show that at least two educators across two different departments at Barrington High School in Barrington, Rhode Island, offered five extra credit points to students to be used on their next exams if they chose to verbally testify or offer a written comment on the legislation. Emails also show that the educators praised the students who chose to submit testimony. The bill prohibits teaching certain divisive concepts that have infiltrated government schools at the taxpayers' expense, as well as some private schools. Those concepts, which make up the bedrock of the so-called critical race theory, include an individual by virtue of their race or sex is inherently racist, sexist, or oppressive, whether consciously or unconsciously. An individual by virtue of their race or sex bears responsibility for the actions committed in the past by other members of the same race or sex. And meritocracy or traits such as hard work or racist or sexist or were created by a particularly powerful race to oppress another race. So the social studies teacher who created the original email strongly urged her students to partake in the hearing while offering her own left-leaning commentary on the legislation, which she said would prevent her from teaching the unit on race or gender. The teacher, Allison Grieco, claims she believes every opinion is valuable in my classroom as long as it's respectful. Good civics discourses only happen when multiple sides of an issue are discussed. Holy cow, I'm shocked. I'm shocked. Shocked, I tell you. Although Greco claims she always encourages her students to involve themselves in the political process, doesn't care if they testify for or against. She also wrote in an email she encourages students to testify on legislation that would relate to them. To have a say, have a talk, have a take. Have a take. 704-570-1110. That's like super sports talk right there. Here's the thing, though. I have a perfectly valuable objection to the notion of CRT. What I mean by this is, it's an argument you can use. Who wants to hear this idea I have if you're getting jacked up with CRT and you don't want... You know, that also sounds like sports talk. Why did they suspend him? He was jacked up on CRT. He failed a test. No, if you don't want to be a part of like the CRT thing, you don't want your kids doing it, I have a way you can get out of it. Now, it might not work, but it's worth a try. So here's what it is. Go back up to the metrics of CRT. So they want you under CRT to understand that an individual, by virtue of their race or sex, is inherently racist, sexist, or oppressive, whether consciously or unconsciously. That's number one. Number two is the standard. Number two, an individual, by virtue of their race or sex, bears responsibilities for actions committed in the past by other members of the same race or sex. What are we to do with that? What are we to do with that central contention? This is your out. Ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully. Listen carefully. This is your out from CRT education. You're going to have to put this on an index card and give it to your kid. Okay, are you ready? Your objection is going to be religiously based. You're going to have a religiously based objection. Wait a minute, Brett. How are you going to make a religiously based objection to the contention that people of a same race or gender who committed sins in the past cause you to be responsible for those sins when that wasn't you? Are you kidding me? The sins of the fathers? You shall not punish the children for the sins of the fathers? You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord, am your God. I am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Exodus 25. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the sons of the third and fourth generation. Numbers 14:18. Brett, it sounds like you're making the case for them. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. What I'm saying is you need to invoke a religious objection to the idea that guilt is transferable across generations when you didn't do it. If a man walks into a market and murders a clerk, can you put his 4-year-old son in prison for the crime? Absolutely not. Your objection to CRT has got to be based on that standard. There is no and cannot be guilt visited upon an entire class.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Great to be here with you today on a beautiful Friday here in Charlotte. And I'm happy to welcome to the program a man who has not been on this show before, but I'm happy he's on today to talk about his latest book, alongside with his writing partner. The book is Red Deception. It's a fast-paced, globe-hopping, exciting thriller. It's a novel, but it is ripped from today's headlines. And Gary Grossman joins me on the line now as a part of this. Now, Gary, you are teamed up with Ed Fuller in putting this book out, correct?
Absolutely. Thanks, Brett, for having me on. I tell you, I usually write my novels by myself, mm-hmm. but I met this man, Ed Fuller, who was the former president of Marriott International, mm-hmm. through a friend of mine, and quickly discovered that he was as much in the anti-terrorism business as the hotel business, meaning he was the real deal. He was the guy who had to get the guests and staff out of Cairo with the fall of Mubarak, likewise out of Tripoli when Gaddafi fell. In Panama, they had to hide people, and as the troops came through, they hid guests in washers and dryers. Wow. He dealt with bombings in Jakarta. He's the real deal. I write my thrillers that come out of journalism, that come out of news, but now, you know, largely writing thrillers. I do it from the comfort of my computer and do research, and I speak with people. And yes, I have people in the State Department and the CIA and White House of various administrations. This guy was there. He was doing it. So Red Deception has a lot of his stories. We fictionalize a bit. I say a bit. If you'd see me now, my fingers are pretty close together, a bit. But it's really on the razor's edge of reality. It's what could happen tomorrow if we do not pay attention. And that's what I've always loved to write about or do on television.
Are you afraid because, look, I'm sure you were a Clancy fan. I was a Clancy fan. Those sorts of books. And there was a time where you kind of had a predictable Cold War kind of world that was happening. And maybe a lot of that stuff wasn't, Red Storm was not going to break out tomorrow. It's got to be tricky when you're writing these thrillers and you've got them so close to reality that one of these things may kick off that is pretty much exactly like you're talking about in the book. What about that challenge as a writer?
Well, I try not to write a how-to book for the enemy.
Right.
But truly, when you start thinking the unthinkable, and your listeners have got to do this. I know you do it. You think the unthinkable. How close is that to maybe it's unknowable, but it's really plausible?
Right.
It's just out there. And in Red Deception, when I look at what the discussion is now that was just done in Europe with the so-called summit,
right.
We're dealing with cyber threats.
Yep.
Well, cyber threats today, tomorrow, brick and mortar and steel and cement. That's where Red Deception starts with our infrastructure.
Yeah.
Attacking our bridges, attacking the tunnels, attacking Hoover Dam. And again, not to do a how-to.
Sure.
But infrastructure in every state is important. And how easy is it to shut down America's infrastructure?
Oh, we just saw it. We just saw it with the gasoline pipeline here on the East Coast,
And saw it so clearly.
Yes. And look, here's what's so interesting to me, because you're somebody who's got a background in journalism. You're a producer. You're a writer. You're all these things. And I'm curious to get this thought from you. And we're visiting with Gary Grossman, who's got a brand new book out. It's just out, and it is called Red Deception. What a perfect Father's Day gift, by the way, in my humble opinion.
Thank you.
But Red Deception. What about that fine line between being a journalist that's out there covering stuff and then maybe finding out sensitive information and trying to discern whether or not you put it on the front page of the paper? I mean, how do we strike that balance, Gary?
Well, let's say I know a lot,
sure.
And I don't report on everything
right.
because I'm not a reporter writing for a newspaper, but I'll take what I know and understand.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take what I know and understand to be real and see how we could fashion it into a story. For example,
sure.
while President Trump was in his last days, mm-hmm. a very close friend of mine was talking very directly with the White House. And I was curious as a writer, what kind of decisions are being made? What is being said? How far will somebody go? What do we need to know? What do we need to think about?
Mm-hmm.
And, what I felt good about is that there were people, just as there are in any administration,
right,
we hope, that will say, okay, we're looking out for the ultimate best interest of the country,
right,
whatever
right.
that could be.
Sure.
We hope they're in the Pentagon, too. We hope those people are in the State Department and the CIA. They aren't always there.
Right.
So I worry about I worry about people making the wrong decisions or not educated decisions. And if you look at 9/11,
sure,
what happened? If somebody's going to an aviation, wants to learn how to fly an airplane, a 747, a jumbo jet, but is not interested in landing.
Unbelievable.
Wouldn't that make you want to make a call to somebody?
Yeah.
Say, I think we've got a problem here. So I hope and I worry that people who are in the position will share the news they have and bring it forward to the president, bring it forward to people who can help make the right decisions, especially with a man named Vladimir Putin, who for 40 years
yep.
has wanted to bring back the old Soviet Union. That's his goal.
Yeah.
And he will do it unless we stand up to him.
We saw a photograph released earlier today that appears to show Reagan and Gorbachev standing in Red Square and what may likely be a much younger Vladimir Putin dressed like a tourist with one of those old cameras around his neck standing not 6 feet from President Reagan. They haven't definitively said it was Putin who was then the station chief in Dresden. But, man, this pretty freaky picture.
it's Putin. And I can tell you, writing a book with the former president of Marriott International, he has told me, you go to a Russian hotel,
yep.
be very careful.
Oh, sure.
There are cameras everywhere.
Right
there
on.
There are.
Great stuff. Gary Grossman, Ed Fuller, tremendous book, tremendous outing. Can't support it enough. And the book is Red Deception, DECEPTION. And a tremendous book. I'll tweet out the trailer so people can get a sense of the action, fast-paced, globe-hopping fun here. And all the best to you, Gary. And I look forward to catching up with you again very, very soon, my friend.
Thanks so much, Brett. Truly appreciate it.
Likewise. It's wonderful to talk to you.
Now.
Bye-bye now. That's Gary Grossman. I'm Brett Witterbull, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WB.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Witterbull Show, and I am thrilled to welcome to the program somebody whose work I have greatly admired, especially when it comes to thwarting the big tech and the deep state. And it is, of course, Congressman Devin Nunes from California 22, who joins us now on the line. Congressman Nunes, good to have you on the program today, sir.
Hey, Brett, it's an honor to be with you, and I'm looking forward to sharing next Saturday with you. It's going to be fun.
That's right.
We're helping out.
We've got a big day coming up. The Freedom Tour, your Freedom Tour event is going to be coming into the Charlotte area, and that is going to be Saturday, June 26th, right here in the Charlotte area. And I know that there are a few tickets left, and if folks want to check it out, they can go to devinnunes.com/freedomtour, one word, Devin Nunes, and that's DEVINNUNES/freedomtour, and click on the get tickets link, and you'll be able to see a bunch of. But you're bringing in really some A gamers here, Congressman Bishop, who we're big fans of, and Virginia Fox, and Chris Pavlovsky from Rumble, and Michael Watley, Lee Smith, Kash Patel. And I'll be emceeing the event. Let me pivot you over to what we just saw take place with President Biden and Vladimir Putin there at that summit. We're now hearing rumblings that President Biden wants to have a summit with Xi Jinping. Why do I feel like this is the slow erosion of the end of America First, and our enemies are licking their chops, Congressman?
Well, look, make no mistake. What happened last week for the United States of America was an unmitigated disaster, okay? And I don't put that lightly. I'm not happy about it. As a guy who had to sit there and listen to every Republican under the sun, including President Trump, being called a Russian agent, if you watch what happened before the summit, Biden allowed the Russians to have a gas pipeline into Germany, into Western Europe.
Yep.
which is how the Putin regime continues to exist, which is a dictatorship. Then he goes and meets, and he agrees to bring the ambassadors back, which, you know, it's fine. It's always good to have dialogue. I'm not sure that really mattered anyway.
Sure.
And then just today, breaking news, we haven't been notified by the administration yet, but they're going to stop giving lethal aid to Ukraine.
Whoa.
Yeah, so it's the fake news reporting it right now, so I can't say it's for sure. But you may remember, Donald Trump got impeached.
That's right.
For supposedly not being tough enough on Ukraine, mm-hmm. even though Donald Trump had agreed to give lethal aid to Ukraine after Obama wouldn't. So this is just incredible. The fake news, which is really the propaganda arm. I everywhere I go, I try to make sure people understand. And I know your listeners probably do, Brett, but...
Sure.
95% of the content that's being developed out there is part of the propaganda arm of the Democratic Socialist Party. And then when you run it through Facebook or YouTube or Twitter, you know, that's why we have such a tough time with independent voters, is because a lot of those people, look, they just want to take their, you know, their kids to a soccer game on a Saturday morning or go to a football game on a Friday night. They don't really care about politics. Well, the problem and the danger is when you're getting pure propaganda through your iPhone or iPad or cell phone or what have you, it's manipulating the population. So there's a propaganda machine that's going on here in the United States supporting one party, and it's really no different than what Putin has in Russia or what Xi Jinping has in China. This would be, if all this happened in a matter of 3 weeks, if Donald Trump would have said, okay, one, I'm going to let you have a pipeline. Two, I'm going to bring our ambassadors back. And three, I'm going to stop giving lethal aid to Ukraine. They'd be trying to impeach him for a third.
Oh. Congressman Schiff and Swalwell would be self-immolating right in front of us. I mean, they'd be
drawing up impeachment proposals right as we speak. It's absolute madness. It's just totally nuts.
What needs to happen here with the big tech? And what I mean by that is it's convenient to throw around. Okay, we got to get rid of Section 230, all that sort of stuff. But what needs to happen? Are we looking at a big tech breakup a la AT&T? Back, Ma Bell back once upon a time. I mean, what needs to happen here, Congressman?
Well, it's a much longer conversation.
Sure.
A lot of people say, well, just get rid of Section 230. It's really not that easy, because if you just got rid of 230, basically it would take you years to go through the courts before you would actually get a whole, you know, Google and YouTube and actually break them up and have all that problem. So I think what really needs to happen is they need to be broken up as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. At the same time, and this is Chris Pavlovsky he's the CEO of Rumble.
Yes.
So out of nowhere, in less than a year, nearly every conservative creator has moved over to Rumble. So not just, you know, I'm on there with my little video cast and my little podcast, but you have big, you know, big time guys there, some of the biggest shows in the country, like Dan Bongino and Ben Shapiro. They're on Rumble now. And so we do have an alternative to YouTube. It just got an initial investment. Mm-hmm. It's been around about 7 years. It's really a great platform, and it kind of shows you how much we've been getting throttled, because when I got on there, I had 9,000 followers on YouTube at the time. This was last summer. I had 9,000 followers on YouTube, and what I noticed was no matter how much content I put up there, nobody was viewing it. I was just getting no views, no new followers. I thought, that's weird. And then I went on to YouTube to and don't do this, because if you do it and you type in Devin Nunes, you'll learn all this horrible stuff that's all just defamation and nonsense, fake news. And I said, this is crazy. So I actually just called up Rumble and I said, hey, can I if I put my name into your search site, will my videos come up? They actually laughed and thought I was like a moron or something. Like, hey, well, why wouldn't? I said, well, it doesn't happen on YouTube. So the bottom line, Brett, is this, that not after 4 years on YouTube, 9,000 followers, today in less than a year, I have over 700,000 subscribers on Rumble.
Huge.
If you're a Republican still on YouTube, you're the moron now, because there is an alternative. So I've spent a lot of time in North Carolina the last 4 years.
Sure.
Really happy for the state that we were able to pull it across the line. You've got a great delegation. Matter of fact, I was just there a month ago, actually, in the Charlotte area. I went through Richard Hudson's district.
Oh, sure.
All the way over to Fayetteville. And I'm going to be coming back in for Virginia Fox and Dan Bishop, and I'm going to be doing separate events for them. But this Freedom Tour is something that I've been kind of working on for a few years, but a couple months ago, we had a Freedom Festival in my district in California.
Right.
We had over 2,000 people show up. I was able to put it up on videocasts, on podcasts. We live streamed it. So I had a lot of people across the country say, hey, will you do that here? Will you do it with us? And so that's part of what this is. So now when I make stops to help out other members, I'm putting on these Saturday morning events. This one won't be as big, but we do have a few tickets left. It'll be a lot smaller, but we will be live streaming it out.
Good.
And look, and we work with guys like you, local guys, conservatives that want to help spread the word. And it should be a fun time. You know, doors will open at 9, and you know you'll be out of there and home by 12:30. But you'll get to see a lot of people in person, and then afterwards it'll be out there on Rumble so that you can watch it.
All right, and again, folks, check it out, devinnunes.com/freedomtour, devinnunes.com/freedomtour. Looking forward to catching back up with you. It's been far too long, Congressman Nunes. I'm looking forward to hearing from you and all the great patriots that'll be speaking. Again, you can get those tickets at devinnunes.com/freedomtour. Be well, safe travels, and we'll see you in about a week, sir.
I'm looking forward to it, Brett. Thanks again for helping out.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT by request from Chip. You know, we actually get requests for bumps. That's the music that plays us into or out of a segment, depending on how we want to roll at a given point. It is great to be here. 704-570-1110. Thanks again to, of course, the terrific Gary Grossman and Devin Nunes. See, it's moving into the summer months, and there's a lot of things that are starting to happen, which are hugely important, and you get to be a part of it. And I think that's really the way to go. You want to be a part of these great things that are happening in our community and beyond. And thanks as well, by the way. And I mean this in all sincerity, with the wrapping up of the Rush Limbaugh show, such as it is. Thank you so much for all the support that has come my way on Facebook and on Twitter. Made a lot of new friends, people interacting and saying that they like the show and they like when I fill in and all that sort of stuff. And that is greatly, greatly, greatly appreciated. Absolutely. And I'm also very happy to, you know, take thoughts back and forth on topics and issues. And you can reach out on the phone at 704-570-1110. Or, of course, if you want to reach out on social media as well, which is a big, big deal, too. I like to be interactive with the audience, and that means doing live events. I anticipate we're going to be doing more of those coming forward. We're going to be getting a chance to get together to get to know each other, and I'll be doing speaking events and things like that. So that's all going to be coming down in the future, but we may not have any money, and that's the real double truth there, my friend, because we now know that Democrats are working on a $6 trillion reconciliation bill, a $6 trillion budget. Now, we have, in terms of our debt, we're $28 trillion. The Democrats want $6 trillion in a 2022 budget bill. That's insane. That is absolutely lunacy. President Joe Biden unveiled a $6 trillion budget proposal for fiscal year 2022, which includes his costly initiatives, including the American Jobs Plan and the American Families Plan. It also includes his proposal to raise the corporate tax rate to, what's that number? 28%, and increase the capital gains tax on the, quote, wealthiest Americans to 39.6%. It also still runs a deficit of $1.8 trillion for fiscal year 2022 and continues to run trillion-dollar deficits yearly over the next decade. Shalanda Young, who's the acting director of the OMB, said that after 2030, budget policies will then start to reduce annual deficits, speaking on a call with reporters. Do you understand how far into the future that is? That would represent 2030 will represent essentially the election after Joe Biden's second term is done, or after Kamala Harris is starting to run for re-election, depending on how you want to slice and dice that. I don't think he's going to get a second term, and I don't think she's going to run for re-election, because I don't think she's going to get elected. I do think the Republicans will take government back over. The budget unveiling traditionally kicks off lengthy negotiations or fights with Congress, which must approve federal spending. Hold on one second. Stop. The Congress approves the budget, period. Full stop. The Biden administration could come out and say, we want $12 trillion for ice cream for Joey. That's a wish. That is not a budget. The Biden administration released its budget on a Friday afternoon before a holiday weekend, and as Congress leaves town for a week. Wait a minute. No, that was back in May. There's a reason why I've read this to you from back in May. The reason I read that to you is they're still trying to push for a $6 trillion budget. And the $6 trillion budget is not going to happen. It's nonsense. Who wants, in all seriousness, raise your hand if you want to see $6 trillion pumped into the economy. Have you enjoyed the inflation sufficiently yet? We would like to get you more inflation. Would you like to spend, I don't know, what's a good price? Let's say you're going to go to a fast food burger place. I don't want to put any kind of, you know, favoritism here. Are you willing to spend $42.50 on just a single patty o' meat with cheese on it and a little bun? Would you like to spend $42? Because that's what inflation looks like. That's what inflation looks like. When you spend all this money, when you pump all this money into the economy, everything gets more expensive. Why? Because it can. Because it can. And there is no benefit to future generations except the debt that you're leaving them. Now, look, I get it. We spent a lot of money during the coronavirus pandemic. And frankly, those trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars that we spent ought to be coming back our way from the Chinese Communist Party. Because they're ultimately responsible for, at a minimum, not warning the world about what got out of their lab. So we should be seeing an inflow of money, an influx of cash coming into the United States Treasury. And we should be doing a summit with nations around the world that would be a settlement summit with China for what they did with their reckless behavior. They got a nuclear facility that's already melting down right now. And they're just being like, it's probably going to be okay. Don't worry about it. It's a part of China that we don't have to really worry about. It's okay. It's all cool. No. You need to think of it this way. These countries that we're talking about, and I would say China and Russia combined, and I'll throw Iran in the mix, are not ready for prime time when it comes to big boy weapons and technologies. Okay, the Wuhan Virology Institute isn't even like the highest controlled institute that they have. It doesn't have maximum security precautions. All right. And so as a consequence, because we've now gone down this rabbit hole chasing these stories that are not going to have any kind of a legitimate output. And because you go to try to post that on social media, or you go to try to put it on the big tech sites, you know what's going to happen. They're going to slam the door right on you and tell you that you're a purveyor of fake information, of fake news. That's not the case at all. That's not the case at all. Trust your instincts. Trust your instincts. If your spidey senses are going off, you need to pay attention to your spidey senses. All right, coming up, I'm going to let you hear from former President Obama. We got Bo Thompson coming by. Mark Garrison's going to come by. And plenty of room for your phone calls on a free-for-all Friday here on News Talk 1110-993-W.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Witterbull Show. That's me. I'm Brett Witterbull. And my phone number, if you want to call me, but you got to call me this hour because I turn my phone off after this hour, 704-570-1110. But other than that, you could always call that number between 3 and 6 to talk to me. That's my number, 704-570-1110. Or if I were doing the big story, WBT's big story, on a Sunday morning at 7 a.m. You also could probably call that number, too, 704-570-1110. Great to be here with you. I know I'm getting a lot of feedback from folks they're thinking about, especially on the Facebook page, commenting on that last Rush Limbaugh show today. We are going to be going live and local here on WBT starting on Monday. We'll have a couple of different hosts. They're going to be rotating through. You never know who might make an appearance, but we're committed to Charlotte, and we're committed to being live and local. And what that means is we're not just talking about local Charlotte issues. We're talking about all the big issues that are out there. If there's something happening with Biden and the budget or the coronavirus, if there's something going on with critical race theory, if there's something going on in Raleigh, you name it. If it's a big story, we talk about it. We also talk about it being live and local right here in Charlotte at WBT. And you can hear us, by the way, worldwide on the app, on the News Talk 1110 99.3 app, which is great to be here. So we're going to be from 5 o'clock in the morning till 7 o'clock at night. We'll be live and local with actual hosts that actually live here, that actually are enjoying our time right here in Charlotte. Want to invite you to be a part of this discussion. As I mentioned the phone number before, if you'd like to think back about the end of this Rush era, certainly we'll take those calls as well. You know, I had a long relationship with him and that team. I had the honor of my life getting asked to be a guide host over the last number of months. And it was really a terrific chance to spend time with that audience. And many in that audience are in this audience as well. So it was double the pleasure, double the fun, to quote a commercial back once upon a time. One of the big things that's also happening, though, and this is an important story, is the fact that Barack Obama is coming back out into the public spotlight. This, to me, is very interesting. President Obama came out overnight, did a sit-down interview with Good Morning America. And this is a very important clip. This is cut number 4, and I want to set this up properly. He is asked by Michael Strahan, can you talk a little bit about the idea of who we are in America when it comes to the American dream? Can you define what that American dream is? Can you talk about that against the backdrop of equity? Cut number 4.
Historically, the American dream has been a reality for some and a myth for others. In Washington, D.C., that's representative of a lot of communities around the country where the kids who grow up here may formally be free, but structurally, because of poverty, because of schools that aren't working, because of substandard housing, it requires so much more effort for them to live out that American dream. And so our job is to make sure that it's not a myth. And right now, for too many, it still is.
Now, that's an interesting point that former President Obama is making. He's in a place in Washington, D.C. He's in the Anacostia neighborhood, which is a neighborhood that is certainly suffering the ravages of poverty and a number of other challenges that are there. But what's interesting to me, to look at the story he tells about what that American dream is and what the American myth is, the harsh reality of the American dream not coming to fruition for everybody in America, one only has to look at the most violent, crime-ridden cities in the United States to see consistent leadership from a given political party. And we know what that political party is. The same political party that controls Baltimore, controls Washington, controls Atlanta, controls a number of cities. That talking about the city of Chicago, you're talking about, I mean, you can go down the list. Baltimore, Flint, St. Louis, Wilmington, Delaware, Camden, New Jersey, Kansas City, Missouri. These cities are all racked with a great deal of violence. Chicago, Elkhart, Indiana. These are communities controlled by the little D Democratic Party, the big D Democratic Party. These are not places where people are denied opportunity because they are governed by Republicans. They're governed by the Democrats. And so anything that you hear coming from President Obama saying essentially, listen, we are not delivering on the American dream. It's a myth. Well, who controls the schools? By and large, in these cities, unions. Who holds those unions to account for underperforming schools? Nobody. I mean, you just watched the schools held hostage across this country by one person. One person. Randy Weingarten, who comes right out of the guts of the New York City union movement. American Federation of Teachers. Randy Weingarten wouldn't let you open the schools, wouldn't let your kids go to school. Here's another very interesting quip from President Obama. This is cut number six. This is cut number six. President Obama talking about the odds being stacked against some people who want to get involved in politics. Cut number six.
I think that's never been the case, that by virtue of my election, somehow we entered into a post-racial world. It wasn't something I believed at the time, and I certainly don't believe it now. So the fact is that a lot of barriers still exist for a whole lot of folks.
Yeah.
When you look at that list of presidents, we still haven't seen a woman. And the notion that women somehow are not qualified the fact is, at least in my household, the women are smarter, more insightful, more caring, better looking. So something's happening in our society that prevents them from ascending to the highest office in the land. The same is true for African Americans. The same is true for Latinos and the first Americans, the Native Americans. The odds are stacked in ways that prevent a lot of young people from realizing their potential. And we can do something about it.
I would point to the party system. I would point to the political parties that control who the nominees are going to be in cities, in states, what have you. Can this person win? Does this person have a shot? Can this person do this? When you speak in generalities like he does, well, the odds are stacked against. So who set the odds? Who sets the odds? Inside the Democratic Party, who sets the odds? Inside the Republican Party, who sets the odds?
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Quick look at the U.S. Open leaderboard. Your top four right now: Koepka, Henley, Oosthuizen, and of course Richard Bland. Richard Bland's a 5-under. He and Lewis are at, they're done for the day. And of course, Russell Henley and Brooks Koepka are through four. We head on out to our very good friend, Bo Thompson. By the way, that U.S. Open leaderboard is brought to you by Woody's. That's right, Woody's Auto Service. They are making it possible for us to get you those leaderboards. Their family serving yours since 1963. Bo Thompson joins us now to cross the streams. Good to have you here, Bo Thompson.
Always. I love golf tonight in prime time.
See, that's what you get. See, that's what you get because it's West Coast.
West Coast, I love it.
That's right. It's West Coast. Still, it'll be light till 11 o'clock our time, I think.
You mentioned Brooks Koepka. Did you see the Bryson DeChambeau photobomb
yes.
interview last night?
Yes. Now, is this thing starting to jump the shark, Bo? This battle royale between them.
Hey, I expected Brooks Koepka to sort of downplay it and try to dismiss it when they asked him about it a few days ago. Cause, mm-hmm. You know, he's the one who tries to kind of seem above it or oblivious to it. And he actually said that he thinks it's good for the game and it's gotten people talking about it who wouldn't normally be talking about it. And so I got to tell you, I think it's going to go on for a little while. I'm not saying it's going to overshadow what happens this weekend. And I mean, I haven't seen. I don't think they're going to be paired together this weekend, but I do think that it's going to bubble under because every tournament, some reporter is going to ask both of them, and is this either going to get to a point where they both just one of them blows up,
mm-hmm.
or it's just going to kind of percolate because hey, you know, it's a side story, and when Tiger's not in there, you got to have other things to talk about.
So you're not expecting like a Suns in four moment, like we saw between the Suns fan and the Nuggets fan duking it out there in Denver.
I thought that for a little while, but maybe it'll go the Chris Cuomo route. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, the Chris Cuomo. Now, you know, he got bird dogged in a big way. He basically challenged the world to come out and tell him the time that he's denied facts he didn't like. Bo Thompson, it was not a good look. You don't ever ask a question that you don't have certainty on the answer to.
Well, you asked me if I think that Bryson and Koepka, if that's going to blow up. I think it's much more likely that at some point somewhere somebody lights the fuse a little too close. And I think Chris Cuomo is going to have one of those. I mean, you remember the time that they called him Fredo, and he basically got it. I still honestly don't know. I know that technically that was his private time and off the air, but on the air, but I mean, when you're a television celebrity like he is on a major network, I still can't believe that just basically went unnoticed. I mean, I guess it's the same thing as his brother. I'm still surprised his brother's governor of New York. So,
well, yeah, that's a fair point. That's a very fair point, indeed. We will see how this ends up shaking out. Let me pivot to something more directly in our wheelhouse, sort of here local. And that's today was the last Rush show, last Open Line Friday. Ken Matthews was helming, and has now wrapped that show with a you had a very emotional final caller who wished everyone forever dittos. Any thoughts or reaction as we move into this new era of we'll be live and local from 5 a.m. to 7 p.m. here on WBT, and we've got a great opportunity to continue to connect with the greatest radio audience in all of talk radio right here in Charlotte.
Two things. I remember when we were local before. I was in high school. I was working at the station. We had a local show. Mike and Barbara McKay hosted it, and a very, very different kind of show, not political at all, but they're two iconic broadcasters here in town. So, and even before that, Henry Bogan, a lot of people forget this, but Henry Bogan, who is a Hall of Famer who most often did nights, Henry Bogan moved his show to the noon to three slot for about a year, year and a half. So I remember the time before Rush, but by the same token, it also seems like it's been forever since it wasn't Rush. And I said on my show this morning, and I know you echo this, but, you know, Rush Limbaugh, I mean, no one's going to replace Rush Limbaugh. It's impossible.
True.
There is no other Rush Limbaugh that's ever going to be out there. So I think anybody who is embarking on that time slot now understands that as a base level. But I said this morning, my respect for Rush Limbaugh at the very base and will always be is Rush Limbaugh as a broadcaster.
For sure.
To me, obviously he hosted a very political show, but for me, starting out in this business and listening to his show, I remember sitting in my car at lunch at Myers Park High School, listening to his show and thinking, this guy, he uses bumpers, he uses production, he uses show. I mean, you and I have talked about this before, but when I think of Rush as a broadcaster, I think of that's the best to ever do what you and I do.
Sure.
And from that standpoint, there will never be another. But from the other standpoint, I harken back to what was on this radio station before Rush. We've been live and local before, and this is a new era. And it's an exciting time. I believe very much so too to take things in a new direction. And I'm excited. Pete Callender starts that on Monday, and Brett Jensen will be on the air next week. And like you said earlier, you never know who might pop up in that time slot. So I think we're ready to embrace the next chapter.
Absolutely, and it's going to be terrific. I got 30 seconds left here, Bo Thompson. Who have you got coming up on the Grande Monday show after a beautiful Father's Day weekend?
My new schedule starts next week. Each day of the week we'll have the same host, starting Monday with Mick Mulvaney, then Beth Troutman on Tuesdays, Chief Kerr Putney on Wednesdays, Brett Jensen on Thursdays, and John Hancock on Friday.
Look at that. It's a murderer's row, my friend, and I don't mean that, of course, in a criminal way. I mean that in the great days of the Yankees back in the 20s. That's awesome, man.
Excited, man, and excited with what you're doing. I think there are many great days ahead for this radio station.
Indeed, I agree 100%. Enjoy the weekend. A happy Father's Day to you and yours, my friend, and let's pick it up on Monday. Great guns going.
Right back at you, man. Have a great weekend.
Take care. That's Bo Thompson. I'm Brent Winterbull, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBD. is Anna.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Erickson with an update. News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. So Friday afternoon, 704-570-1110. Ladies and gentlemen, now approaching the microphone. This could be treacherous. Get the dump buddy button ready. Jim. Hello, Jim. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for another great week of radio.
Well, I appreciate that. What's on your mind today?
I have a couple things. The first thing is my favorite quote from President Biden.
Yeah.
If I may run that past you.
Go ahead, please.
The one where she asked him if you're confident about your relationship and what you said, and he blurts out, I'm not confident about anything.
Yes, he did yell that. He did yell, I'm not confident about anything. That's
it's the ultimate confidence game, being the U.S. president. You can't go to a summit and say, you just blew the whole diplomacy.
Just
burst it all over the floor. That's why they're now, the Republicans are getting ready and starting to think about imposing the 25th Amendment.
No, nobody's 25 in anybody. No.
Is everything. You're supposed to be able to go and say, I am confident I can get him to change his mind in any topic that you talk about.
And hold on. But so I'm going to play devil's advocate here for a second on that contention. If he came out, in fairness, if he came out and said, you know, I changed his mind, I got this guy, Biden would be roasted for saying that, because and I'd be one of the guys roasting him, because no, you cannot trust Vladimir Putin at all. I mean, he can hold up his hand and you cannot guarantee that he really has five fingers on his hand if he tells you he's got five fingers.
Yeah, but this is the thing. I remember Kissinger doing it all the time, saying we are confident we can get them to see things our way. And then you know what they did? You know what they had with them? They had the big club that went to work if they didn't get it, and that's what you got to do. They know if we go to swing our club now, they know we're so gutted and so worried about political correctness.
Okay, all right. Maybe. I mean, it's possible. Sure.
Anyway, can I change gears on you?
Why not? Am I going to get in trouble? Are you going to say something that's untoward?
No. I want to ask you about the whole thing with the slot going to Buck and the time slot and I know you were in New York, and I wonder if you had time to talk to him. I know you guys are friends. I just want to say, diga mi la verdad, as they say in the Latinx community. Have you had a chance to talk to him, and what are your thoughts?
Look, I am, and I'm not dodging. And I'm just going to tell you my straight direct answer here. Okay, I am under contract here at WBT. I am thrilled to be here at WBT, and I'm being honest, Jim. I mean, you've heard me over the past year and a half almost since I've been here, and I want to be here, and these are all companies, and this is what people don't understand. These are all companies that have their own plans and strategies and things like that, whoever the providers are. And one of the things that I was struck by, and this is all I'm going to say about this thing with the Rush thing, because there's really no news to make from this, right? But from my perspective, people, I think, assumed that once names were out there, that those were the official names. And the analogy I used it in interviews with people and with people who called me and asked me my opinion. I said, every one of these companies that are coming out with something, think of them as a football team. And every football team's got a quarterback. So you know who many of these names are. That's their quarterback of their time slot between 12 and 3. And nobody knew what the quarterback situation was going to be at the Rush, you know, at EIB or at Rush. And then they named names there, which are Buck and Clay. And so that's, I know them. I have subbed for Buck. I am sort of familiar with Clay, though not as much as I am with Buck. So the fact is, all these companies have their own metrics and their own ideas, and we have our own idea here at WBT, and I love the idea that we have here at WBT. And so for me, it was an honor to sit in that seat. You know, I I got in. If you think about this for a quick second, I just want to repeat something I said at the Talkers convention. So I came here. I came here to Charlotte on February the 17th with the full expectation I was going to run back and forth to San Diego to see my wife and my kids and to transition here to Charlotte and everything was going to be smooth. And then we ended up with the pandemic. And that day that I was doing one of my first shifts here on WBT as a fill-in was the day that Rush announced his diagnosis. And he made it abundantly clear it was a terminal diagnosis and he was going to fight as long as he could. And so to come full circle here, to be here February 17th, and then to be back here February 17th on his passing, you know, was a remarkable thing. And what we had to do was build the biggest, strongest show we could build here on WBT. What we could do was connect with these listeners in a way that the pandemic, we were able to do that. We were able to super serve the community. And on December the 30th of this past year of 20, I was able to fill in for Rush while he was getting treatment. And then, you know, in February of 2021, he passed away. They asked me to be a guide host, and that was the honor of a professional career, to be honest with you, to be able to sit in there and help transition this. And the people that I would give the credit to are not so much people who took up a slot, got this slot, got that slot, but is the credit to the team that kept this going for this amount of time. It took an inordinate amount of labor. It took an inordinate amount of research. And I think one of the things that I was blessed to be a part of with that operation was that I had institutional memory from being there from, you know, 95 until 2006, full-time in the program from 99 to 06. So I had the memory of bits and parodies and riffs and things like that that I recalled being in the room for. So this has been an incredible journey, and I am sad today in the same way that I was sad on the 17th of February when he passed away. But at the same time, and this is what's important, he left it all out there on the field. And whatever people are deciding in terms of directions forward, I wish them all well. I know everybody who's, I know Dan, I know Clay, I know all these people. But you know who I know really well? These listeners here at WBT and this team here at WBT. And so I think it's an incredible opportunity. And I've been incredibly blessed to be here. And there's no place that I would prefer to be or want to be right now than where I am with this team and this, you know, this opportunity that we have in Charlotte. But I appreciate you being there, Jim, and I hope you have a happy Father's Day weekend, my friend.
Thank you.
You got it. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. We will be live and local starting on Monday from 5 a.m. to 7 p.m. It's going to be wonderful. You're going to want to be a part of it.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT, Brett Winterble Show, my favorite time of the whole week.
Of course it is.
By the way, I want to wish you an early Happy Father's Day, Mark.
Well, thank you, you too.
Thank you, sir. You know why it's my favorite time of the week?
Because you're about ready to go home.
No, because I'm going to get the preview of Charlotte at 6.
Of course. That's it. Yes, of course.
What do we got coming at you at 6?
Well, we're going to look at a little COVID controversy in the NFL. Players who get vaxxed are going to be treated very differently than those who don't get the shot, even affecting their endorsements.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, we had Panthers, the new quarterback, not vaccinated, and mm-hmm. some questions about whether Christian McCaffrey has been vaccinated, so we'll talk with Brett Jensen about that.
Good to know.
Is Joe Biden mentally fit to be president? You know, he says stuff like,
if he can't figure out the difference between an elephant and a lion, I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
Did you hear about this? You may have talked about it. The former White House doctor for both Obama and Trump says Biden should take a test.
Ronny Jackson.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sure does.
Mm-hmm.
623. There's something interesting for parents with critically ill kids at one Charlotte hospital, a little bit of home inside the hospital. It's really cool. We'll tell you about that.
All right.
635. It's Friday. We have the strange news of the week, courtesy of Anna. Of course, she's good at coming up with strange.
I like the strange news of the week. That keeps me hopping and popping.
And then at 650, if you're looking for a little different spot to eat this weekend, story of a Charlotte restaurant that not only survived COVID, the owner also survived a stroke that doctors said should have killed him, and he's still cooking amazing jerk chicken.
Oh, I love jerk chicken is awesome.
I tried goat there for the first time ever.
Was it jerk goat or was it the same?
I don't think the goat was a jerk. No.
No, well, you know, that stuff is very spicy.
Oh, yeah. No, this wasn't. It was a lot like pot roast, as a matter of fact. It was good. Yeah.
I'm in.
All right.
I'll be listening all the way home. Mark
Thank
Garrison.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Charlotte at 6 with Mark Garrison coming up just after 6. Hey, let me get you a U.S. Open leaderboard look, by the way. We've got as our top four right now. You got Bubba Watson, Russell Henley, Louis Oosthuizen, I always mess up his name, I'm sorry, and Richard Bland. Richard Bland and Louis are done. They're both, you got Louis is 4 under, Richard's 5 under, Russell Henley's 4 under, and Bubba Watson is 3 under. So there you go. That is your U.S. Open leaderboard update. It's brought to you, presented by Woody's Auto Service, their family serving yours since 1963. You know what's going to be great about this Father's Day? Just sort of hemispherically talking, like looking at it from the 50,000-foot mark. It's going to be that you can actually get out and do stuff. Like, you can actually get out there and have barbecue. You can spend time, go for a walk, get outside and enjoy life. A far cry from where we were a year ago. A year ago, we were worried. We were afraid. We thought once summer came, we were all set. Boy, were we wrong. And I'm not going to take a political tack on this. I'm just happy that all the great holidays are able to be celebrated now. Yeah, I get it. There's going to be that stick in the mud that wants to wear the mask on their head and on the mouth and on the arm. And, they want to wrap themselves up like the mummy. But by and large, I see people out and about smiling, and it's happy and it's good. And it's great to see people actually smiling. In fact, what's so nice about this is there's going to be a whole generation of children who will have lived through this coronavirus pandemic, but will have no real memory of it other than, say, photographs or videos that may continue. It's the idea of being able to see your mom or your dad and to see them smiling. You know, that earliest communication is oftentimes, it's obviously touch, right? It's tactile, it's visual, and it's also auditory. So it's wonderful to see these newborns and these toddlers getting to enjoy time with their mom and dad, not coming from a place of fear, not coming from a place of separation or isolation, but instead coming from a place of enjoyment. I think it's the one thing I have missed the most during the pandemic, in all honesty. The ability to see somebody smile, the ability to smile at somebody, And the ability to greet people the way they ought to be greeted. I've always felt, and I'm sorry if it bothers somebody, ruffles a feather or what have you, but I've always felt like wearing a mask, this is my personal opinion and I'm not judging anybody else, but I always felt when we had to start wearing masks that somehow we had come up a little bit short. America, I always felt, was one of those countries that had a certain level of invincibility about it. And I know we don't. I remember September the 11th. I know about December the 7th. And I understand that from time to time, we have horrible catastrophes and disasters, both man-made and natural, in our country. But there's always that sense that we were different. We could have a handle on things. We had modern science and modern medicine and all of that. And I think as we approach this Father's Day weekend, in the same way that we recently approached Mother's Day weekend, I think of all those people who are now able to get together because a lot of fathers and a lot of mothers, for that measure, worked all those extra hours to save all those lives. Sacrifice is something that is innate to the human spirit. The idea that you are willing to sacrifice your life or an opportunity or a body part, an organ for donation to somebody who needs it. As much as we love animals, as much as we see the different species taking care of their young, protecting with their very lives their young, whether it's the tiniest bird or the greatest mammal, they don't have the ability to tap science and to physically make those sacrifices for people or creatures outside their circle. And I'm not a biologist, so I'm probably getting it wrong, and you can spare me the notes. I'll acknowledge that you're probably right. But it's that notion of sacrifice and that notion of gratitude that I think is so hugely important. And I think it's the thing we ought to look back on. You know, the psychologists will tell you, if you ever find yourself falling into a depression, don't go deeper into the depression. Think to gratitude. Think to being thankful for what you have. And boy, am I thankful as a father of my daughter and my son, Jillian and Luke, as a husband to my wife, Sherry, and as a host to the listeners here on this station. It is a true blessing to be here every single day. And though we get lost in the ups and the downs and the ebbs and the flows of the challenges of life and the politics and the arguments and the fights and the insurrections and the pandemics and all those sorts of things, at the end of the day, we ought to be filled with gratitude that we get to live in the United States. Because by and large, we get it right more than we get it wrong. And we are able to avoid a lot of the catastrophes, by and large, that a lot of other places suffer. But we have a responsibility then to make sure that we can ease the suffering, not just of our fellow citizens, but our fellow people on this planet. And that's important. Because after all, believer or not, we are all indebted to that eternal Father. I'm Brett Winterbull. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll pick it up on Monday starting at 3.